Soul Sister Radio.
I was a dead man, out in the cold. Life was a pit and I was deep in a hole, just about to give up. Then lo and behold, a voice from within said, save your soul. Yo, brothers and sisters all around the globe, I got a story, word. It's gotta be told to my family, friends, fans, even my foes. It's like this, y'all, this is how it goes. I was out in the world without a name or a goal, huh? Out of school and out of control, set in my ways, yeah, stuck in the mold, and going the wrong way down a one-way road. Young and bold, I didn't wanna be told. I used to steal and brag about the stuff I stole. Then one bright day, my mind got blown when a voice from within said, save your soul. No, I didn't wanna be told. Things were looking up and I was on the roll. I was a rude boy and a Romeo, and anywhere I went I started the show. I had money, woman, plenty of gold, and an overinflated EGO. I was a dead man, but I didn't know until a voice from within said, save your soul. A movie, and I was playing the role of a black youth living in the ghetto, where the action was, that's where I'd go. Right or wrong, I'll be going with the flow, but what you reap is what you sow. It's like karma, the bad you do will follow. You were round, and I was going down, right down, with my face in the ground, two hands bound to a siren sound, none of my so-called friends anywhere to be found. As I thought to myself, in life you're alone, a voice from within said, anyone home? Yes, Lord, well here I be, if I ain't ready yet, I will never be. I'm sorry for the things that I did before, believe me, Lord, I won't do them no more. I'll be an arrow, if you will be my bow, and anywhere I'm sent, I'll gladly go. I'll be a witness all around the world to every man, every woman, every boy and girl. Cause I was born in the ghetto with a strong survive and with a will to strive. I began to rise from 79, or was it 75? When reggae music began to open my eyes about the truth, the right, Jah the Most High, and how to achieve that little pie in the sky. Inspirated, yeah, I was totally motivated. To the further I decided to chat the mic, but my direction was not to only those of my complexion, but the brown, yellow, red, and the white man. Critics criticize, cynics cynicize, any entertainer with a message they victimize. But in this world of sin, it's no surprise. So with the media, I sympathize. I hear the rich man's laughter, hear the poor man's cries. Hypocrites advertise their lies through their eyes. Everyone's born, most of us die, but only God's children get the prize. Don't be a fool, be cool, come on and get wise. Yeah, wise up, no compromise. And listen to the voice that resides within your mind. Cause God is sent to guide to all mankind. Choice is yours, life above or death below. It's up to you to save your soul.
Soul Sister Radio.
Hi, I'm Susan Shengazar. I am the advocate. Are you a healthcare professional facing burnout? Do you have a heart for the homeless? Have you ever been a victim of domestic violence or sexual abuse? You can learn from my experiences in my books, The Anointing of Mercy from the Heart of a Parish Nurse. Or I'll meet you at Winston Wall Street Journal. Journey to My Father's Palace, Destiny, Coincidence, you decide. You can find these books on Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, or Zulon Press, or Google me.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Hello, Soul Sister listeners. If you're learning and receiving from what you're being fed here on Soul Sister Radio, return the love by becoming a monthly partner of this station via sponsorship, monetary gift, or as a Soul Sister advertiser. Thank you for your support. Soul Sister Radio.
Welcome to Soul Sister Thursday. This is Maria DiGiovanni, and I want to welcome you to Soul Sister Radio and this amazing show, The Advocate, with Susan Shengazar. But before we do call Susan on, I want to say thank you so much to our brand new sponsor of this radio station, and that was Mr. Pato Bantan, who sang the song Save Your Soul. So Susie, here it is, and take it away.
Thank you, and welcome back to another Thursday, live at 5. I am Susan Shengazar, the Advocate, and what an amazing song, Save Your Soul. For those of you listening who don't know how to get saved, I just want to tell you right off the bat, if you don't have a Bible and you have a pen and paper or you want to listen to this show again, you'll have it to refer to. Romans 10:9-10. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I want you to know that because I was just listening to that song, and so many places it just rings true. Don't be a fool, be wise, don't compromise. And I have 36 jewels in my crown that makes it so beautiful, and I wanted to read those jewels, and I want you to know that it's available for each one of us. I say they're in my crown because I read them, I make them my own, and it's prayers in Christ. I am called in Christ. I have redemption in Christ. I reign in life by Christ. I am alive unto God through Christ. I have eternal life through Christ. I am a joint heir with Christ. I am sanctified in Christ. My body is a member of Christ. I have victory through Jesus Christ. I triumph in Christ. I am a new creature in Christ. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I have liberty in Christ. I am crucified with Christ. I have put on Christ. I am an heir of God through Christ. I have been blessed with spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. I have been chosen in Christ before the foundations of the world, that I should be holy and without blame before him. I have obtained an inheritance in Christ. I have been quickened in Christ. I am sitting in heavenly places in Christ. I have been created in Christ unto good works. I have boldness and access in Christ. I press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ. I rejoice in Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God supplies all of my needs through Christ. Christ in me is the hope of glory. I am complete in Christ. I am dead with Christ. I am risen with Christ. My life is hidden with Christ in God. Christ is my life. I have the mind of Christ. I am a partaker of Christ. I am preserved in Christ. So don't be a fool. Be wise and don't compromise. Save your soul. And that was Romans 10:9-10. You guys can take a look for yourself, and God is waiting for each one of you because he loves you so much.
Amen. Hallelujah. I have to tell you, though, there is something else special going on today. Would you like to share with your audience what you are blessing them with?
Yes, to the first three who call in, light up our call line, and that call line is 347-857-3760. Call in, and I will give you a personalized autographed copy of my third book, Journey to My Father's Palace, Destiny, Coincidence, You Decide. And so call in if you want a copy of that for free, and I will autograph it and send it out to you. Make sure you leave your complete name, address, zip code, so that we can send it out to you. And I am an advocate against domestic violence and sexual abuse, especially women and children. I won't stop fighting for you. God has called me as a minister to proclaim the gospel, to show you how to overcome this. I was a victim. I am victorious. And so because of that, I'm here today. I went through the fire, refined myself to be who I am today so I could be there for you. And today on the show, I bring another woman who has a similar calling on her life, who has dedicated her life as also a minister to be out there for women and victims of abuse. Her name is Kathleen Callahan. And Kathleen has overcome many adversities in her life. She commits her life to being a minister to hurting souls. She's a licensed minister, counsels to the hurting. One of her pages on Facebook is called Broken Beautiful, a support group for Christian women victims of abuse. And she started this page through years that she had met many women in the churches, Christian circles who were currently suffering from some form of abuse and other women in the world. The root of much abuse seems to be a misunderstanding, in her humble opinion, of what the exact role is of a Christian woman. There seems to be so much intimidation, such control exerted over these women as they struggle to find their own voice and place in God and the body of Christ. She has seen women be prisoners in their own home. She has seen men go to the extreme as to board up the windows of homes, lock up their wives so that they can never leave them, and be influenced by the outside world. She has been so confident, self-assured, beautiful, loving women, and seen them lose their confidence as they were repeatedly beaten down and made to feel bad about themselves, all as a way of keeping the control in the women's lives. The man strips them of their intelligence, strength, wisdom, and other gifts that God gave for them. So, Kathleen, I welcome you to this show, and I commend you for your amazing stand against this fight. And I join hands with you and the other women we had on the show, because we are going around the world, and we won't stop. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a pleasure. It's my honor.
Now, tell me where you're located, Kathleen.
Right now I live in Northern Virginia, and I've been here for about 25 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, what year did you get involved with domestic abuse victims and becoming an advocate?
It's kind of been a process. Now, it started with my family of origin. My father was abusive to my mother, and he abused her for over 25 years of their marriage. And we did witness some of the abuse, so all of us are very familiar with that. And sadly enough, my brothers, you know, abused women at one point or another, and all of my sisters at one time or another dated and or married an abuser. So there was a long history of violence in the family. And I just woke up one day, I think, you know, when I moved to Virginia and I got in a domestic violence marriage and there was just such an abuse of power, I thought, this doesn't feel right. This, you know, and I felt like there was nowhere to go. You know, I felt like there wasn't a lot of support from the church. They didn't seem to understand or have the education as to how to address this issue. So one week it was, you need to separate for a while. The next week it was, you need to move back in together. And anyways, it was very frustrating for me, who just wanted answers. What do I do? Well, as God had it, he had me I was working at a Christian bookstore for our pastor who owned the store, and I saw the book and the name is Submission. And I thought, oh my gosh, I've never seen this book before. And I read it and I thought, you know what? No wonder this never felt right. This really isn't okay in God's eyes. So that opened up my eyes. That was probably 20 years ago. So that got me on a roll. I started volunteering with our local domestic violence group once I left that abusive relationship with the help of our local abuse shelter. And I became a volunteer with them. And that's kind of what started this whole, movement. And I'm proud to say none of my family are in violent relationships now. We've all broken the cycle of domestic violence and abuse. And I'm proud to say even my own mother, years ago, took somebody, to court because they were abusive and held them accountable. And I couldn't have been more proud.
Oh, praise God. Oh, wow. Now, this book you mentioned in the name of Submission, do you recommend this book for our listening audience?
Absolutely. I can't, and I feel bad. I can't remember the name of the author. But it was life-changing, and I often post it at my support group as well, because I think it helps dispel a lot of the myths about the treatment and, what our role is and how, women are to be treated. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I just think a lot of people are confused what submission means. I think they think, that that means it's a free-for-all, and what I found is that many people are just unhealthy, and sadly a lot of the churches are as well when it comes to what does a healthy relationship look like? How do we communicate? How can we be partners? How can we work together? How can we share in the decision-making process? I think what I've found is there's a lot of people out there who are very insecure. That's all they know is to overpower somebody. If I can't get my way and they're not doing what I want, I have the right, to overpower them and do whatever it takes to contain them or get what I want. And that's really what prompted my page 3 years ago, because I kept running into this. Women don't know where to go. If they go to a local domestic violence shelter, they're not Christian-based. So what I found when I was going through them is, it's kind of different. We have different morals. We live by a little bit of a different code, and we believe in the sanctity of marriage, and it's a holy union, and it's to be, honored and respected. So I just felt there was such a gap there, and I thought, we need to have some Christian support for women who are suffering from this abuse, not getting the support from the churches, or married to, someone in leadership. Oftentimes I'm finding women who are married to, pastors or youth leaders, ministers, music ministers, and yet, they were totally different people at home, and nobody saw that side of them except for the wife and the children. So it's amazing how many people I've met, I've talked to, I've made some great, friends, sisters. It's just, I'm amazed. I'm just in awe of everything God is doing, and I'm honored to be a part of it.
Yes, I'm blessed to have you here and bring this out. Each person has a different perspective and input on it. And the thing is, it's the love of God in the renewed mind in manifestation that has to be in place in a marriage. And when that's in place and that mutual respect is there, then a wife just naturally submits, because you follow in love, and it's not a controlling spirit. And I think that a lot of people misunderstand that just because you're married means you have to do it. It's not an act of bullying. And if you see your husband is on the internet looking at pornography and he's a minister and yet he wants you to submit, it doesn't work that way. You have to have respect, and the person has to be accountable to God and be who God has called them to be. And if you're not, it's why you don't get respect in the wife or vice versa.
And that's
doesn't submit.
Exactly, and that's so defiling. Let's just use that as an example. Like, if that happens, that just opened up them up to all different kinds of spiritual, you know, battles that didn't need to happen had that door not even been opened. You know, we're to, you know, men are to, you know, present as blameless and spotless before the Lord. That's part of their, and I think part of that is making sure that everything in the home is pure. We're not opening any doors to anything like that. And honestly, I just think there's just so many people that are just really mentally, emotionally unhealthy. There's a lot of emotional abuse that goes on, which many women will tell you, sadly enough, that's far more painful than the actual physical, because it cuts to the core, cuts to their heart and their spirit when somebody's deliberately, you know, making you feel horrible about yourself, or, you know, Stockholm syndrome, anyway, some of the mental mind games that go on. Isolation, exactly. You know, take away their support. You know, my first marriage was like that. You know, he would just, you know, didn't want me to, anything to do with my family. He cut all ties. What? I don't understand. Why is that a bad thing? Yes. Yes, exactly. And, you know, women, there's power when women come together and pray and fellowship. It's awesome.
And there is power when the whole body of believers, not just women, but
exactly,
our children, our husbands, our families. And that's the thing, is this spirit of betrayal comes in and divide that division, backbiting, all that stuff. And God bless everyone who's come against us. We pray for you, but it is not right. And that's where being human, we're not perfect, and we... You know, we talk about it because it hurts. And when you find someone who listens and helps you get through it and helps you with prayers and deliverance, because that's what, we have a lot of broken people out there, and a lot of them have left churches and have lost their faith in God because they were part of a church, they saw something happen, and then they were distracted and walked away. And they're left wounded. And so I believe that's why God has called so many of us to come together to bring back those who are broken and give them tools and pray this off, because it cannot continue. And we cannot keep passing it on to the next generation.
Absolutely. That's the key. And I try to educate people. That's one of the things I try to do is, you know, there'll be posts, there'll be encouragement, there'll be articles, there'll be scriptures, things that I try to pray every time before I get online to see what the Lord, you know, would have me share. What do people need to hear tonight? And it's amazing the amount, I mean, the people that write me, you know, thankfully they can send private emails to the page as well. And, I mean, it just goes on and on. You know, there's elder abuse. I mean, I've just sat there and wept sometimes to hear how adult children are actually treating their adult, you know, senior citizen, you know, parents. And financial abuse, spiritual abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse. Just horror stories. Recently, even people that were actually sold into sexual slavery, prostitution, human trafficking, gut-wrenching stories. And I just think, Lord, help us. Help stop this. You know, these are innocent children that are just, Anyway, so it's, my heart goes out to everybody. I pray every day for the victims. And I need to change the name of that, actually, because survivors, those that have survived it. But some are still in it, and I pray all the time for them, and I ask others to pray.
Exactly.
That if they're still in it, they can be freed. You know, the Lord would make a way. He made a way for me. He made a way for you.
And I see so many people who've come out of adversity of many different origins.
Yeah.
And the call on their life is so tremendous. It just makes me want to cry. When you hear their testimony and you hear about what they went through and you see who they are today, that's what gives us, you and I and the rest of us who are fighting, that gives us the fuel to go fight for someone, because when you're down, it is such a miserable place, and when you feel like you don't have anyone who understands and gets you, and then yes. you see and you hear it, it brings you back where you need to be with God, and then you get up, wipe the
exactly.
dust off. And then
exactly.
you pull out the sword of the Spirit and you say, you know what, devil, I'm done. And I just want the listening audience to know that if any of you have never heard that you can file a lawsuit against the devil, I just want you to know right now, people file lawsuits every day in the worldly court. I want you to know you can file a lawsuit that's bound on earth and in heaven against the devil. And Jesus is the first one who took that and made it available. So I want you guys to know that you can file a lawsuit against the devil and take back everything that was stolen, mishandled, swindled, taken from you, your family, everything you ask for back.
Nice.
And you ask for the maximum compensation ever awarded. And you write it out. You start writing your lawsuit right now. Give it to God, because it says, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be his name, blessed be his name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I just want you to know, everything that has been stolen from you, your health, everything, family members that are lost, kidnapped, whatever it is, you get it back, and you be the one who prays for it. You be the one that files a lawsuit for your family. Take back your life right now, and I'm calling out to whoever is listening, you need to get your life back, and you need to do it now. Kathleen, I'm sure you agree.
Amen. Amen. I stand in agreement.
So where is your church? Is it a home church, or do you have a church on the streets? Are you in a building?
I'm not in a building. It's very recently, literally within the last month, got ordained, so haven't even gotten that far yet. It's just amazing, though, how quickly. I have these two pages online. One is open and one's closed, you know, the broken and beautiful. But then God gave me heart for widows, so I have two widows pages as well, even though I'm not a widow. I've been surrounded by widows. My grandmother is a widow. I have a heart for widows. God has used me to help several of them kind of get back into the business of living again after, you know, suffering a loss. So I have actually four online support pages that keep me pretty busy when I'm not working my day job. But the goal is absolutely, I'd love to do more like an outreach minister. I'd love to take the broken and beautiful to the streets. Absolutely. I'm now getting involved and getting some training as far as, you know, helping advocates for, you know, sex trafficking and getting, you know, kids off the streets. And so that's kind of opening up a whole new area. So I'm not 100% sure where it's headed here, but I'm excited. I'm very excited. And I think, Lord, you know, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, I just didn't want to be here. I just, you know, I had a lot of pain and a lot of loss and suffering, and nothing seemed to work out right, and I always seemed to pick the wrong guy and be attracted to the wrong guy, and just never worked out. And I just thought, you know, this, I don't belong here. This isn't for me. And I finally realized, thankfully, through great, loving Christian counseling, helped me to get strong again, and great books out there, support groups out there. There's all kinds of help. There's no reason in this day and age for anybody to be unhappy, unhealthy. And with God, we can do anything. He said we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. We can do anything. He gives us the grace to do it. And I'm living proof. If I can still be here after the loss and the abuse and the abandonment, I could go on and on, but people keep telling me I need to write a book someday about our story of growing up. But then I hear other sisters' story, and I think, please, you know, I had it easy compared to others. So I think we all have our cross to bear. It just depends on, you know, what it is, but we're not alone, and we can love and help and support each other. And so I'm not there. I haven't arrived. I'm a day, you know, work in progress every day. But I love learning, and I love reading the Word, and I love being in the presence of the Lord and asking Him every day, you know, not my will, Lord, yours be done. Not my will, yours be done. And that's when I'm the happiest, and that's when I feel the most contentment, to be walking in the presence of the Lord being submitted to His will, and then I can be used, and these doors just open up. It's amazing.
Amen. Well, we're going to take a station break, and we'll be right back. Okay.
Soul Sister Radio. Hello, Soul Sister listeners. If you're learning and receiving from what you're being fed here on Soul Sister Radio, return the love by becoming a monthly partner of this station via sponsorship, monetary gifts, or as a Soul Sister advertiser. Thank you for your support.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Hi, I'm Susan Shengazar. I am the advocate. Are you a healthcare professional facing burnout? Do you have a heart for the homeless? Have you ever been a victim of domestic violence or sexual abuse? You can learn from my experiences in my books, The Anointing of Mercy from the Heart of a Parish Nurse. Or I'll meet you at Winston Wall Street Journal. Journey to My Father's Palace, Destiny, Coincidence, you decide. You can find these books on Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, or Zulon Press, or Google me.
Soul Sister Radio.
Or Google me. I love that so much. Susie, you have some callers on, so I want to bring the first person on. And you met this gentleman in December when you became a dame under the Imperial Order of St. Helen. So I would like to invite and say welcome to Chevalier Jim Maximilian. I'm going to say it wrong because my jaw is hurting me. Jim, can you introduce yourself, please?
Hi, I'm Sir James Maximilian Murphy, the Prior for Canada.
Very good. Susie, take it away.
Welcome.
Hi, thank you. What a great show. I've just been listening for a bit, and it's I love that the idea of putting the lawsuit against the devil. That is just so powerful.
Well, in the back of my book, I write it out, so you'll be reading how to do it and how exactly I did it.
Oh, wow. When you were sharing there a couple minutes ago, it really moved my heart because I've been under attack a lot lately, and it's you know, been doing a lot of prayers in reference to it, but it just spoke to me when just to be listening just then when you were bringing it up. It was just really powerful.
Hallelujah. That's the anointing that flowed with that word. So thank you, God, for putting it in my mouth to speak it out. And Jim, is this your first time listening?
It is. It is, unfortunately. Maria has recommended me earlier, but I'm so happy that I clicked on, though. It's like I
Hallelujah.
Said.
Hallelujah!
My wife and I were having a great afternoon this afternoon doing shopping here in Victoria, and we went to the Christian Book Room and got some stuff for my daughter's birthday is coming up on Sunday, and it's just been a blessing all day. And then to come home and turn on the computer and the click into the show, and then to hear that, it just spoke to my heart big time.
Well, I'm going to send you one of my books, and you can give Maria your address and stuff. I don't want to put it out on the air for everybody. Please put a review on Google for me or on our site. And thank you so much. And I look forward to seeing you in September.
For sure.
Maybe at the next event.
It is September 22nd here in California.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that. My wife and I love coming down to California. We're in Victoria, B.C., and it's even though we're in a tourist hotspot here, which is the banana belt for Canada, everywhere else are getting snow, but here on the island, we're not. So you drive my motorcycle all year round, but it's just It's a great place to live, but we love going down to Southern California. We just had we have so much fun there.
Good.
Well, thank you so much, Jim. I look forward to seeing you. God bless you.
And
we have another caller?
Yes, you do. You have another caller, and I would like to bring her on now. And would you like to introduce yourself, our next caller?
This is Marie Waldrop. How are you?
Hi, Marie. God bless you.
Hey, God bless you, too. I'm enjoying what I've heard so far.
So you've been one of our avid listeners, and you've been on the show, too, before. And so, Marie, thank you so much for all your support. And I will get this book out to you, and I want you to share it with other women. And so God bless you for being faithful to listen and post our show. And you're an advocate yourself.
It's a pleasure, yeah.
It's a pleasure and an honor
to be able to help any way I can.
Thank you so much. And make sure you give your address to Maria, and we will get that book right out to you. Thank you so much.
Okay,
bye, Marie. Go ahead. Did you say something?
Oh, I was just saying goodbye to Marie.
Oh, okay. And so,
I know her too.
Kathleen, I wanted to say, when I was listening to you talk about the widows, it so spoke to my heart that you have that Ruth Naomi anointing. And
it gave me
chills. It's just such an honor. And I'll tell you, when I was a little girl, I always hung out with older people because of the wisdom they gave me. And I have such a heart for them, and working with them in the hospitals and over the years. And I'll tell you, there is something devastating that occurs when a woman has had a husband for 50, 60 years, and then he leaves her and goes to be with the Lord, or he dies and we don't know where he went. But their heart is so tender and vulnerable, and the enemy comes in to steal what faith and pillar and security they have. And so God has appointed people with this anointing to go after them and to be kind to the widows and the orphans. And so to have that ministry is huge. And I know every time I take the hand of a widow or widower or man and pray with them, it releases them from fear. And I see so many people that are crippled, and the disease comes on them because they get isolated and they quit coming around. And so it's a huge ministry. So God bless you. That has been given to you from God.
It is. It's an honor. I'm in tears right now thinking about it because I've met some great people. And just, you know, I can relate to some of their level of pain. You know, I've had some loss and not quite to that degree, but, you know what, you know, some of that can feel like. And to feel alone and right, like, now what do I do? I was a wife. I was a mother. What do I do? Where do I belong? What is my role now? And that's what I'm finding is, you know, now they're forced to have to find out who they are all over again. And, of course, they question their faith. You know, it makes them, Lord, why now? Why him? So it is. There's a big, you know, huge need for that in ministry. And I'm honored. I'm honored to be a part of that, too. Any little bit I can help. Make someone's life a little better, to help empower somebody.
It is a great honor, and I'm so blessed to speak to someone who has that anointing, and you do. And I believe that you do have a book that is going to come forth, and God will reveal that title to you. And as you write it, just know how many lives it's going to change. And it doesn't mean the minute you write a book that you're some big millionaire. And the thing is I've written three. And you know what? People need to get out of their own way, because that ego comes in and it's got to be stopped. The reason I wrote the books wasn't for me. And so I was just the instrument to write them, and I've given away more books than I have actually sold, and it's okay, because the lives that have been changed who've read the stories that are true stories and that have changed, I can't put a price on that.
I'm excited to read your books.
And, you know, part of my story is not pretty. I'll be the first one to admit I grew up wanting to be somebody else because my story was so bad. But thank God he saved me that I could be alive to help someone else who was going through something worse.
Yes.
Because
yes,
I couldn't have made it without God.
Yes.
And just like
that's
you.
That's exactly right.
And so now you're a minister, you have a mantle, and you don't get that. You don't get that from just showing up at church. You get that from going through the fire. You earned it like a general warrior in a war. And it is a war. It's a spiritual war. And you know what? We went through it in the physical. But Christ went through it so much more so that we could be victorious in it.
Yes.
Because without him, we couldn't have done this.
That's exactly right. It's the grace. It's his strength and his spirit and his mercy. And what Paul said, you know, with what we've been through, we can comfort others with the measure that we were comforted. He was with us. He saw us through all of that. And, you know, that's turning ashes into beauty. You know, that's coming from broken to beautiful. It's a transformation. And I am different. I'm thank God I'm different from the worldly ways I used to be, you know, a long time ago. I thank God, you know, I don't know. Every day I just say, Lord, I don't know why me, but I'm grateful. And keep me humble forever. Yes.
Yeah.
No ego, please. No pride, please.
I can hear it in your voice that it's not there. But, you know.
Yes, I want to say that way.
On your website, you have, when you know your worth, no one can make you feel worthless. And that's such a beautiful, beautiful word, because I know there were times where I was like, really, God, what do you want me here for? Just take me out of here.
Yes.
And even when I tried to take myself out, he put me back. So I'll tell you what, if you're meant and called to do something for God, you know what, just get peace with it and let God work and stop, you know, like you said, get out of your own way.
Exactly. I mean, I really feel, I think I've finally come to that conclusion that, you know, I'm the most miserable when I'm kind of focused on what I don't have and things that didn't work out and what I've been robbed of, what the enemy's been allowed to rob me of. And when I really stop and think about, well, wait a second, I've actually never felt better. I've never had more peace. I can now sing that song, It Is Well With My Soul, and feel that way, mentally healthy, you know, spiritually healthy. But it took years of hard work. And I just think sometimes people quit too easy. They give up on themselves. They don't think they're worth it. Maybe nobody loved them or cared for them enough. But Jesus said we're worth it. He gave his life for us. If he can do it, then I, like Paul, say it's an honor to suffer with Christ and to be a partaker in Christ's suffering. Some of the things that we go through.
Yes, it is an honor. And when I was at work the other day, and it was just a day of prayer. And as I left work, I stood in the parking lot waiting for my ride to pick me up. And a woman stood just shattered in tears, you know, and I saw her and I was like,
aww.
Okay. So I walk over to her and I said, are you okay? And she's like, no. And I said, well, can I pray for you? And she's like, yes. And so
aww.
I prayed for her. And it turned out her father was in the intensive care unit, and her father was a prayer warrior. And so I reminded her, if her father's a prayer warrior, that she has that mantle also, and she needs to stand in the gap for him right now and to stop crying, but rejoice that she's fighting for him. And so God puts people like us in other people's paths to help them. And so I thank God that I listen sometimes, because I don't always, but when I am and I see the smile on the other person's face, my heart rejoices because the angels in heaven are actually saying hallelujah to us fighting, you know.
Yes. Yes.
God could have sent an angel down to do that, but
yes,
he uses us because he wants,
amen,
to know if we're listening. We're listening.
Amen.
And
that's submitting
the key.
I think we can get with life. I think one of the keys I've learned is to not be overwhelmed with, don't be so consumed with everything that's going on, because just trust God. It's all going to work out. Just give it to him. He's got the whole world in his hands. He can handle this. Whatever's going on for you, he can handle it. And if we can just be at peace with that, at least I'll speak for me, that's when I'm more in tune and I can hear better. I can be a better vessel to be used more when I'm not so preoccupied on me, self, you know, with self. And that happened one day. I was at a store, and this woman, you know, face all red, she'd obviously been crying, and I just felt horrible. It was like just a little convenience store, and I finally just said, "Are you okay?" And she said, she looked at me, she goes, "I'm all right." And I said, "Are you sure?" And she goes, "Yeah." And she said, "Thank you so much for caring." And I started crying when she left, and I thought, you know, that's it. There's just, again, I think some people, we get so consumed with what's going on in our immediate life and our immediate problems and our immediate family that we forget, we're close-minded sometimes to really what's going on, the ministry that's out there. And there's just so many who are hurting right now that all it takes is, are you okay? Like you said, can I pray for you? What a moment. You know, that's exactly probably what she needed right then. She'd probably been asking for help. And there was a vessel yielded and able to hear from the Lord and respond. It's a beautiful thing.
The thing is I usually drive myself to work, and I never go through that parking lot unless somebody drops, you know, my son used my car that day. So I would have not been walking out that door. I go the other way. So,
amazing.
See, God set it up, you know, and it's not about me. And I find that when I'm in the worst mood or I'm all into myself, those are when my phone rings off the hook. Someone needs prayer. Someone needs me to listen. And I'm like, no, this is my time to be feeling sorry for myself. But that's when God says, you're not going to do this. I'm going to get you out of this mode. And so that's really what takes, it helps them and it helps you. And we're not perfect. And just because we're Christian, we are not perfect. But we want to do the right thing. So we constantly are sharing with each other what is the right thing to do. And we only have the Word of God, which is huge, to show us and remind us.
It has all the answers, yes. Yeah, I believe that.
Now, do you have children?
I have one son. He's grown up and moved away already.
Oh.
I know. So that's the other thing. That was part of, you know, the, you know, feeling lonely and, you know, holidays, you know, kind of quiet. And but, you know, the Lord has given me, again, so many people that I've met just through online, the ministries. And, you know, some of them have even made themselves my family members on my Facebook page. So it's kind of neat, you know, how we are all members of the body of Christ. And we all have a place where we belong and where we fit in, and that we all have gifts that God has given us. And I have a lot of love to give. I feel like, you know, I had just prayed, Lord, you know, I miss having a child around, because, you know, and then all of a sudden I'm God sending me people into my life who, you know, could use a little motherly love and some maternal, you know, affection and a, you know, spiritual mentor. Anyways, it's just so neat. You know, we can ask for whatever we want. He cares about every little part of our lives. That's what's so amazing to me.
Now, do you like to write?
I love to write. Now, it's been a while. I'm from a family of writers. Actually, my father was a journalist and a writer, and my brother is a journalist and writer, and has his own newspaper. And my mom actually wrote a couple of songs of the year, so it's in our blood. I start and then I get busy doing something else. But I've had a word a few times from people saying, you know, the Lord basically said you're supposed to write a book. So I think it's a matter of just
I think you need to be obedient to that. I mean, I had for 30 years people telling me to write a book, and I actually wrote it twice and tore it up once and then threw it in the fire the second time. And so that is my book, Journey to My Father's Palace. That's my book that was years in the making, and I had to write it all by scratch again. But it turned out to be my third book because God had me put it aside and write two others. But I know that you're supposed to write a book. And and I asked Marie when I was talking about you coming on the show, what was the name of your book? And she said, oh, does she have to have a book? And it was just that I thought you had a book.
Oh.
And so I saw it. And so...
Well, then I'm going to take that as a confirmation that I need to write. I need to start.
Yes, I'm excited. I'm excited every time someone shares the story because it's so unique. And the way God delivers all of us out of the miry clay and puts our feet on the rock, establishes our way, and gives us our destiny. And that's what it is people don't know what their destiny is. It's like me being a nurse. I have the anointing of mercy. As a little girl, I always wanted to be like Mother Teresa because I saw her helping and giving. And I knew that was my calling. And I have so many other gifts. It doesn't mean that that's your only thing. But when I wrote The Anointing of Mercy, it was so people could see what you're supposed to be doing with that anointing. It's not just giving a medication as a nurse.
Right.
There's more to it.
Oh, and that's a gift, being a nurse. It's a gift. It absolutely is a gift of hospitality and amazing. And I bet you've made a wonderful nurse. I bet you are a wonderful nurse.
Well, when I'm walking with the Lord, I am a wonderful nurse. And people are blessed to have me as a nurse. But, you know, you take away God from any situation, and you're not a nice person.
Right.
Right. I mean,
exactly right.
You know, there'd be nothing unique about me if you take away God.
Right.
I
feel the same way. There'd be no light.
Yeah. And so people who are all into themselves, this narcissistic, you can work on your flesh all you want, but if you don't have eternal life, that flesh is going to die, and you're going to end up in hell.
Yes.
And so that's a choice. It's either heaven or hell, and it's always been a choice.
Right.
And it hasn't changed for thousands of years.
It has not,
And people can wander off to every path that they want, but if you're not born again and you don't know if you're going to heaven or hell, then, you know, there's a lot of questions you need answered. And so that's, you know, one thing this show is here for is not just to tell you how to get out of the abusive relationship, but it's give you tools for life, life-saving tools.
Right. Amen. Yes. The book has it. The good book has all the answers. And there are wonderful ministries out there, you know, healthy ministries, healthy churches that just want to love you and build you up in the Lord, you know, and teach you, you know, what His will is for your life or help at least get in touch with the gifts God has given you. For years, I said the same thing, Lord, what is my calling? What are my gifts? I don't know. But everybody kept telling me, you know. Well, you're a writer, you have a gift of hospitality, or you have a gift of encouragement, you know. But I felt like, well, maybe that was it. I needed to work on me first. I needed to deal with my past, go through the counseling, find out what it was about me that was kind of attracted to people like my father who was abusive. You know, we kind of play that out. And once I was aware of that, I stopped attracting those type of people, and I could recognize them better, you know, a wolf, kind of a wolf in sheep's clothing. But I had to do the work, and I feel like once I could get through all that and go through the grief and the loss of things that had happened, abuse and neglect, and get to a place where I finally felt okay, I'm better, I feel stronger, thank you, Lord. What am I gifted for? And then how it's just come to fruition over the last couple of years with, again, starting with the online, you know, support group pages. And guess what? I'm home alone and it's Christmas and I'm not with anybody and I'm sad So what do? I get online with all the other people who are out there feeling the way I do. I know how they feel. But I have the Lord, and I feel blessed because he's made a way for me to leave a horrible situation and to come out of it alive and well and give back, time to give back. So ministering to other people during the holidays who are going through what I was going through, it's just wonderful. And I didn't feel alone, and I felt loved. And that's a God, that's how God works.
And, you know, that kind of training is called, you know, more than a doctorate.
More than a
what you just went through. You know what I'm saying? Because
yes.
You go to school, you sit and you read books, and then you have a few hours of clinical, and then you're on your own. When you go through it for a lifetime, you know, that training, you don't get in school. I'm sorry. The stuff I learned on the job as a nurse, I never learned that in school. But when you learn it experientially and you can teach it, you can't give away what you don't have. So what you have is so powerful that you don't have to have a doctorate degree in the world to say that you can do this, because God gave you that degree. You went through it, and he crowned you and said, well done. Now go get my people, because he has us here for a reason. You know, we're not just playing Barbies all day long. It's just
we all have a job to do. We
do,
absolutely. And that's the goal. I think people will be the happiest if they can find what their calling is. And it's amazing you just said that. And I'm going to take that as another confirmation, because I've been trying to finish a degree in counseling, and I just can't seem to get it done between my full-time normal job. I'm a sole, you know, income person. I just live, you know, by myself. So I have to work every day. So, and then at night and the weekends is often, you know, the ministry. So there's not a lot of time for school. But a friend of mine said, you know, the Holy Spirit is the teacher. And I'm thinking, well, Lord, shouldn't I get a degree at some point, you know, in biblical counseling? Or so I don't know. I'm still kind of pursuing that as well. But it just seems to be happening.
Sometimes we need degrees to make the world happy. You know, I'm also a parish nurse, even though I am in ministry, but I had to do that to prove that I could have a certificate to pray for people. And I'm okay with that, but what I do know experientially, what God has taught me, thank you, God, because it just comes out, and it's always there. It's always there, and it's not something I got to go find a book and read. It just, your spirit brings to remembrance. And so we only have a few minutes left on the show. And so I wondered, is there something that you wanted to give our listeners before we end the show that we haven't, you know, talked about maybe?
I would just say hope. I feel like there's what I'm sensing a lot is just a lot of hopelessness, even amongst Christians, just kind of feeling kind of down and depressed. And so I just want to say, you know, shake that off, because that's not of God. That depression, you know, anxiety, you know, that's not of the Lord. And he just wants you victorious in him. He wants you happy and at peace. And I believe that he can and will do that for you, as he has done for me. So I say, please don't ever give up. Always reach out. God is there. Sisters are there. Ministries are there. Don't ever go through anything alone. If you don't have to go through it alone. Most of us have been through what you're going through. You can change. Things can change for you. If you're in an abusive relationship, reach out for help. Don't stay in that. That's just going to tear you down and make you feel horrible. Reach out for the help. There's ministries, there's organizations, there's shelters. There's just no reason to be stuck anymore. And there is a reason for hope. Our hope is Christ Jesus. He's coming for us. One day he's coming for us. In the meantime, let us just be there for each other, to love on each other and to serve each other in love.
Amen. And God bless you, and thank you, God and our Savior Jesus Christ, for bringing so many wonderful people together on this show. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ for every single sponsor on this radio show and everyone who listens, God, give them a touch right now. Bring your Holy Spirit where they are, and I thank you, God, for every week that we share your word, that you cover us in the blood of Christ. And I thank you for those listening. If you have a special need, please call in and give us your need, and we will specifically pray for you. Until we see you again in the heavens, we're here each week, live at 5. I am Susan Shengazar, the advocate. We'll see you next week with another amazing speaker. We're going to have Ashley, a certified anger management specialist, on our show, and I will save the details for next week. God bless you. This is Susan Shengazar, and I am the advocate.
I hear some say nothing is sweeter than love's first kiss, or getting high till you reach the sky on a cloud of bliss. But as I reflect upon my life and I reminisce, I can't dismiss that I get a thrill from love and service. That is why I'm gonna learn to love, and I'm gonna love to serve. 'Cause as I serve my brothers and sisters, I am serving the Father. Yes, I'm gonna learn.
Soul Sister Radio.
Hi, I'm Susan Shengazar. I am the advocate. Are you a healthcare professional facing burnout? Do you have a heart for the homeless? Have you ever been a victim of domestic violence or sexual abuse? You can learn from my experiences in my books, The Anointing of Mercy from the Heart of a Parish Nurse. Or I'll meet you at Winston Wall Street Journal. Journey to My Father's Palace, Destiny, Coincidence, you decide. You can find these books on Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, or Zulon Press, or Google me.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Hello, Soul Sister listeners. If you're learning and receiving from what you're being fed here on Soul Sister Radio, return the love by becoming a monthly partner of this station via sponsorship, monetary gift, or as a Soul Sister advertiser. Thank you for your support. Soul Sister Radio.
Welcome back to Soul Sister Thursday. I want to welcome you to Soul Sister Radio, and I am here, Maria DiGiovanni, and we have a new snippet of a show. And Susie, I'm glad that you came back on because we have Richard, and Richard is one of our four guardians who has really taken up a huge part of the business part of what we are doing here in Soul Sister Enterprise. And we're going to learn a lot about what he has to share. But I want to also say that he is the Nerium arm under Magdalena Gomez, the lady who became a lady with you in December under the Imperial Order of St. Helen, and how Four has signed up under Magdalena's arm, and Maria Brame for Brame.biz and all that we're doing for domestic violence and sexual assault will be opening up the Nerium arm under you. So I want to thank you, Susie, for joining us. And Richard, are you with us too?
I certainly am, and thank you very much for having me on.
Yes, Susie, you're there with us?
Hi, Richard. Hi, Maria.
Hello.
Hi, Susie.
I sent a message to Magdalena hoping that she would be able to join us right now because I know that we are an amazing team, and I know that we are going to take this Nerium product because I know, Susie, you believe in it so much, and I know Magdalena believes in it. And Richard, you've been on it for about a week. Can you share with Susie, who has been in Nerium now for about a month, correct, Susie?
Yes, a month.
Yes, and Magdalena's been in it for about 10 days, and you have been using the product now for a little bit over a week, Richard. Can you share real quick how you are feeling about it?
Well, I'm feeling pretty good about it. Like you said, I started about a week ago, and, you know, as a man, we don't normally do anything to our skins, and so the first applications, the Nerium actually was just soaking right into my skin, and my skin was dry. But after about, I'd say, three or four days, my skin really actually started getting much softer. And just putting on just a moisture over my face and putting the Nerium on it, I ended up didn't take as much, and just doing the 4 or 5 squirts out of the bottle worked really well. So my skin has actually gotten much softer, and I've already had a comment that today that they've already started seeing some changes, so I'm pretty excited about it.
Very good. Susie, would you like to share with the audience what Nerium is? And again, this is a business venture that we've all come together, and we are going to lock arms and make it possible. The arm that is under Richard, which is under Lady Magdalena Gomez, it is the arm that is going to be funding our Four Guardian program and our international outreach in Greece. And then the arm under you is going to be going towards advocacy when it comes to domestic violence and sexual assault, and that everything that that all that we are doing under Susan Murphy Milano and Brame.biz. So if you could share with our audience what Nerium is and why we've chosen this to use as a platform in order for us to fund some major projects in our organization.
Well, first of all, I am always skeptical of, you know, products that people say is, you know, going to work. And actually, Nerium has this little ad where people are showing their, you know, their vanity counters and stuff. And I was quite ashamed because I have so many products. I can't even tell you how many I have. I took a picture of it and showed it to the girl who got me involved. And she was laughing because I, you know, everybody wants something that works. And so I was like, I don't want to try another thing. I really did not want to try this. So I decided to try it. And actually, you know, the laugh lines on your face, my left side of my face, that laugh line is almost gone. And the other side is quite prominent. And so I said, oh my gosh, now I have to keep putting it on one side so it will even out. But I have fairly good skin for my age, and I wanted to have better skin. And so I'm continuing to use it. But what Nerium is it's an age-defying treatment. It's a true breakthrough in anti-aging skincare that harnesses the patent-pending NAE8 extract from Nerium oleander plant. And it's not dangerous to put on your skin. In fact, you can eat it and it won't hurt you, because a lot of people are worried about that, that Nerium oleander is poisonous. Well, there is a poisonous portion of a plant. This is not it. The product was created accidentally. They were doing a line of looking for something to cure skin cancer, and they found that it decreased wrinkles. It made the skin more supple. Overall, the glow on people's skin was better. It healed wounds and things, but it did not cure cancer. So they found out that the people benefited from it, and their pores were smaller. It reversed skin damage, hyperpigmentation, and a lot of women get from the hormone changes in childbirth and then menopause and age spots. And so this came about because of that, and I started using the product, and then it was like, okay, so I'm going to be on auto ship every month and have to pay for this, but if I get three people to buy it underneath me, I get it for free. And I was like, now that is something I want to do. So it prompted me to want to promote it, besides the fact that it works. And so who doesn't want to look younger when you're 53? And so I found that the men, their photos were more impressive than the women's. And I was like, how is that possible? And the thing I know is that, just like Richard said, a lot of men, do not use anything except shaving cream and that razor on their face. And so, and then cologne. And cologne is actually drying because it's alcohol. So I've seen the photos of men be more impressive in that respect. And so, and it's a great business opportunity. This company is already in the forefront of all the leading competitors out there. And I haven't seen anybody unhappy with the product yet. And I've just been in it for 30 days. So what more can I say about that?
Well, that's very exciting. And again, I'm really, really thrilled with how you love the product and how Magdalena loves the product, and Richard, how it's, you know, coming across on you. I've got a sample bottle out to another one of our guardians, Scott McKay, who is using it now as well. And I want you all to hook up with him as well. But I'm excited about the job opportunity. Now, Richard, I would like for you to share a little bit about what you're going to talk about. But first, I want you to share about the business opportunity from a male's point of view on what you've seen with Nerium and why you're excited that it's going to be able to help us fund some projects.
Well, one of the things that intrigues me about it is as men get older and older, you know, we have concerns about our health. And one of the big pushes that are going on at the moment in popularity is longevity. And there are a few medical clinics and physicians who actually participate and dedicate their service to those areas of longevity, including, you know, better health in body organs, muscle tone, things of that nature, especially when men get older. And one of the other items that is particularly interesting is the nerium, because it's one aspect that men don't really think about, but actually it prolongs or it contributes to longevity for them themselves. And so that's what I was, you know, particularly interested about right there. And it is a growing area, and there are a lot more men participating in it. So.
Well, I'm pretty excited about it. So why don't you share a little bit with our audience how, actually, before we do, because I'm not sure if Susie has to leave. But, Susie, I would like for you to pray. And, again, I'm really sorry Magdalena isn't here locking arms with us. But I did send a message to the upline so they know that we are on live talking about this. So I know whenever two or more are gathered in his name and that we are all serving one God. So if you could go ahead and say a prayer over all of this and include all of the Karen and Nicole and Magdalena, you, me, Richard, and I would love for you to hold us all in prayer now, and all of those in the four organization who will be signing up under both of us very soon.
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, I thank you, God, where two or more are gathered, so are you. And Father, I thank you that you know each one of our hearts, that we stand on a mission for you, and that we are utilizing all the world's tools to finance the things that we need to do for you, and to also to help our bodies be better. And I thank you, God, that you give us so many opportunities, and I thank you for this, God, for each one of us that have locked arms with each other, all the people in our organization and circle, Father. I thank you for each one of us that we hold each other accountable, that we do not stand for mammon. We stand for you, God, that we are doing this in love with each other, that it's not a competitive avenue to see who's better or who can sell more, but it is honestly, God, a way that we can utilize our tools in the world to better ourselves and others. And that every time we find something that is so amazing, that really works, God, we just want to share it. And just like your word, we want to share it. And so I thank you, God, for prosperity over each one of us, Father. I thank you for your hand of blessing on this. I thank you, Father, for any hindrance spirits, backlash spirits, anything of delay to be out of our way, that we open the door for us in this situation that we have here, that we put our contract in your hand, God, and that you would sign it with us in agreement here, this hour, this time, in this season, Father, that we just place all of our seeds in this field to be planted in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much. Richard, I would like for you to introduce yourself to this audience and to share who you are on the four team as far as our attorney and how you have been helping diligently since we made this choice to go from under a nonprofit to for-profit. And you have really taken it by the reins, and I just want you to share who you are with the audience, and thank you so much for taking this little bit of time to share with our listening audience your new upcoming show.
Well, thank you very much. Just a brief background. I used to be an air traffic controller. Had a tour in Vietnam, came back, got hired by the Federal Aviation Administration, worked there totally for about 10 years until I got fired by Ronald Reagan during the 1981 PATCO strike. By that time, I'd had my bachelor's degree, but only the federal government hired air traffic controllers. So thereafter, I went to law school and went through that regiment, got my Juris Doctor's degree, and practicing law for over 25 years. During that time, I got very interested in businesses and investing and things of that nature, and that I started that journey back around 2000. And from that, I started increasing my financial knowledge, and that has led to my ability to be able to help others in formatting, you know, corporation formations, LLCs, things of that nature, and some of the other components that go along with not running a business or owning a business, which is only one of the three asset classes that there are. What was your other question about?
I went on mute. I'm sorry about that. Share with the audience your position with FOR and what you are doing to move us forward when it comes to going from a nonprofit to a for-profit.
Well, it's essentially been to provide some legal guidance in how to set up their companies. Because there are a number of, because not only do you want to set up a company, but you want to be able to survive, and you have to understand what some of the things, the pitfalls that wait for you. And so I'm able to guide those folks into the right direction in how to preserve their asset, which is their business themselves, understanding what attacks those, how you can lose the assets through predatory lawsuits and taxes, for example, having to do with your assets. And, of course, you know, it goes on much further than that, depending on the asset you have. And then, you know, setting it up to, like, on Nerium and coming up with ideas and a business plan and how you're going to contact folks and how do you get to out there in the market to be able to sell the product. It's things of that nature. And then what type of company you want to form. You know, there's a difference between a Chapter S and a Chapter C in corporations. One is devastating, the other one isn't. Of course, there are LLCs, depending what state you're in, things of that nature.
Well, it's all overwhelming to me, so I'm so glad that God has brought you to this team. And why don't you share with the audience your thought about the upcoming show? We don't have a name for that show, but why don't you share with the audience what your thoughts are on that show?
Well, my thoughts are that I wanted to start from where I began, which is I think one of the problems that a lot of us have is we don't know where to go. Where do we find our answer? And what I've done is when I started my journey back in 2000, I just happened to be watching an infomercial. I couldn't sleep that night, and I was downstairs sleeping, you know, on the couch watching TV, and this infomercial came on, and I thought it's the same old somebody trying to push a book, and, you know, am I going to waste my $29 or $39 or whatever the case may be in having to buy this book? But I kept watching this infomercial over a period of months, and eventually was at Staples one day, and I saw the book, and I bought it.
Mm-hmm.
And the fellow's name was Robert Kiyosaki.
Mm-hmm.
And what was real interesting was that there's, you know, 90% of investing, which is, you know, which take a look at is the three asset classes. Some call it the fourth. We call gold and silver the fourth asset class. But it was the mental obstacles that were presented in the way that we do things, and the other 10% was just actually learning the nuts and bolts of the different asset classes and things of that nature. And I was able to, over the course of years, because I'm an attorney, one of the things that I was able to perfect in my practice was the ability to research. And through that research ability, when I read Kiyosaki's books, that's the Rich Dad, Poor Dad fame fella.
Uh-huh.
And he would have a lot of ideas, and, you know, some of his criticism had been that his books were not explanatory enough, but they gave me the insight and the ideas to go on, and by that, and as of today, I've got three or four pages of lists of books that I've read or I have yet to read, and I've compiled notes of about 450 pages of everything that I read, organizing them into the fashion. And so what I've been thinking about was to start from the very beginning was not only because mentally preparing yourself to invest, which was an offshoot of what I wanted to do was investing. I never expected to even get into this area. I just wanted to know how to make a buck. How do I get cash flow? Can I do that through stocks? Can I do that through a business? I came across this mental aspect part, which helps everybody in their everyday life. It was just incredible found that I had. And one of the topics I was thinking about doing it had to do with getting over these mental obstacles. And it doesn't matter if you're going to run a business or pick stocks or have apartment buildings or anything of that nature, but just in your everyday life and how you make decisions and who you should surround yourself with. That's mm-hmm. why it's paramount to be able to choose friends wisely. You've got to be able to persevere in your goals, and you have to have a direction for a sense of purpose. And so the next time that we get together, I was thinking about running, you know, having this particular topic and go through each one and getting by the folks, the naysayers of life, who tell you that you can't do this or you can't do that or it's too hard or it's this or it's that or I don't want to clean toilets. You know, you hear the gamut. We hear it every day in our lives. And having friends, you know, they have a great impact on you. And you have friends who act like anchors and will drown you, and you got others who act like buoys and lift you up. And it applies to businesses as well. But it also applies to everyday life. And so that it gets into those type of areas. And there's a tremendous amount of information that's out there. And like I said, this 450-page document I've written could basically be set out into some future discussions on the radio.
Absolutely, I see it as the whole show, right, Susie?
Yes, I do.
Well, Richard, I'm really excited that you're on this team. I'm really blessed that you have decided just to take Miriam, you know, and bless four with the seed. The Nicole on the other team, she blessed us with two bottles of Miriam so we could come up with the money to sign up. And Richard blessed four with that money. And now he gave us a little bit more seed, so we're going to be able to sign up too. And Richard, if it wasn't for you and this blessing, we wouldn't be able to take these seeds and really see what this company can do. And I believe in it because you all believe in it. And I truly, truly am blessed that we can all come together and really make something of it. And I'm excited. So, Susie, thank you so much for joining us again. And Richard, have you thought about what we're going to call this new show of yours?
Well, I thought I was just going to be a speaker. I haven't given it a lot of thought yet. When I'm asked questions like that, I give them serious consideration and I give it a lot of thought.
I need to go back
and give it some more thought on what it's going to be called.
Well, we're going to put you as a snippet right now and as a segment on Women on the Edge with Becky Ryan. And again, she is in Atlanta right now, and they are in the basement. There is a tornado warning, and that is the reason why we did not have her show today. So, again, thank you so much, Susie. Thank you so much for coming back on and listening and, again, praying over all that we're doing with Miriam. And, Richard, thank you. All of your blessings, and that last song was Pato Vanto's song, and the next one you're going to hear is Jimmy James, and he is also one of our sponsors. So thank you so much for listening, and we will see you tomorrow on Corrine's show, which is Healing Through Prayer at 10 a.m. Pacific Time. So we will see you next week on The Advocate and Women on the Edge on Soul Sister Thursday. Thank you so much. Next week.
All right. Thank you.
Soul Sister Radio.
Hi, I'm Susan Shengazar. I am the advocate. Are you a healthcare professional facing burnout? Do you have a heart for the homeless? Have you ever been a victim of domestic violence or sexual abuse? You can learn from my experiences in my books, The Anointing of Mercy from the Heart of a Parish Nurse. Or I'll meet you at Winston Wall Street Journal. Journey to My Father's Palace, Destiny, Coincidence, you decide. You can find these books on Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, or Zulon Press, or Google me.
Hello, Soul Sister listeners. If you're learning and receiving from what you're being fed here on Soul Sister Radio, return the love by becoming a monthly partner of this station via sponsorship, monetary gifts, or as a Soul Sister advertiser. Thank you for your support. Soul Sister Radio.